Blog Talk Radio.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power.
Come on. Come on, you declare it.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break
and
break every chain.
Break every chain.
Come on, say it.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Jesus the Only Way Radio Blog. My name is Faith Dean, and I am your host. To all those out there listening, let's give God some praise. Glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Thank
your
you,
Lord.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That song that I played, Break Every Chain, goes hand in hand with the topic of today. And leaving your comfort zone. And this is a group study, group talk, group thought, scriptures, whatever you want to share, whatever you want to, what God has placed on your heart. If you have a testimony that you would like to share, this is open topic. So anyone that would like to share in the time that we have, we'd like to go ahead and get started. Actually, before we get started, can we have someone open up in prayer first? Is that Sister Beverly? Okay, Deacon Chapman, can you open up in prayer, please?
Well, gracious Father, as we approach your throne of grace, Father, we thank you, Father, that you have a vision and you had a word for us, Father, to contain a life that we should live. But the only way that we would learn how to live that life that you had built and architect for us and gave to your Son to build and the Spirit to guide was the word, your word, which is your holy word. And, oh God, I pray that this day, that those that are listening in, Father, will contain and learn something from the topic today, leaving a comfort zone. And, oh, God, bless the station, bless Sister Faith, bless her endeavors, Father. If there's any illness out there, Father, I pray that you touch every muscle, tissue, and nerve, and whatever petitions have been placed upon their heart to you, Father. I pray, Father, according to your will and your will only, through your loving Son, Jesus, that healing will come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Anyway, the topic here today is leave your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. There's a scripture, Isaiah 48. Not Isaiah, but it's in regard to do not ponder things of the past nor things as, oh, I would do a new thing. It shall spring forth, shall you not know it? There's more to the scripture, but when it comes to those things and as far as leaving your comfort zone, old things don't produce new results. And so we need to walk in our anointing, the anointing that God has given us. and we got to keep growing. We got to move to the next level. If there's things that need to be changed in your life, they need to be changed, you know, make some adjustments in your life, because we are walking a new vision, and we can't walk in the past anymore. And whatever the situation that you have in your life that needs to be turned around, that needs to be changed, and you got to make an immediate decision, because God is always moving forward, so we need to move forward as well. And there's no more time to waste. If we need to do some training in our minds so that we can stay connected with God and keep in line, keep in tune with God, because he is calling us to do new things. And so that means that we have to eat the word of God and be ready when God says, and we cannot live in the past no more. So I'm going to share that, and then the floor is open to anyone who would like to speak on that, on how it may pertain to your own life. It's open floor. Anyone like to speak?
Well, I can speak not so much on my life, but speak on what the Word of God says, and I will use 2 Corinthians 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and will heal their land. And see, and then, okay, 2 Corinthians 1:3. We have to look. Well, first of all, let me go back to John, the chapter of John, at least the Gospel of John, 14:26. He said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to put to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Because when we back up to John, you all know the verses they use most of the time at a eulogy of "let not your hearts be troubled." And a lot of Christian hearts are troubled today. But Paul wrote something in 2 Corinthians, and I would ask the second chapter, verses 1-3. And then I would ask this question, and if anybody would respond on it, I'll continue. What is the difference between worldly and Christian comfort? What is the source of true comfort for us? Anybody? Mm-hmm. Well, okay. All right, Paul, this is what Paul wrote. He wrote to a friend of his in Corinthians. And I'm going to start at verse 1 out of chapter 1 and verse 2. "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherefore are we ourselves a comfort of God. And for as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation abound by Christ." So everything is by Christ, if you confess believer. And that's your comfort zone. And when Paul opened up this second epistle, he had a usual greeting of thanksgiving. And everyone, I feel, that who has a true love, has a love of a story to tell of love. Paul tell many of our personal experiences of his life in this letter, and it takes everyone love to read it, because when you read the book of Philippians, I call it the love letter, that epistle. And he had been passing through all his trials and learned to know God better, because God was always more real to us in our sorrows, because a lot of us don't turn to God mainly until we are going through some trial, tribulation, death, or destitute. But the comfort that we should have is that when we are suffering, we're supposed to seek God, seek his word. And some people seek comfort in false religion. They seek comfort in soothsayers. They seek a comfort in idolatry or worshiping idols or material things. But God wants us to worship him because he is love and he's the one that gave us the grace. And as Paul said, this is my gospel, in which he said that it was that the gospel means good news. But what it was, Paul was given something that the 12 was not given. They had the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection, but Paul had a new thing, grace, by God's mercy. And you know 2 Corinthians is a book about comfort. And the enemy is always emphasizing things that are false or untrue. Sometimes we can find comfort in untruth. We can find comfort in doing wrong. But then we got to look at the Trinity, the three persons of the Godhead, as they strive in bringing comfort. God chose his prophets in the Old Testament to bring comfort to the nation of Israel. He sent his only beloved begotten son to Israel to show them the way, the truth, and the life. And then on Pentecost, he sent the Holy Spirit, which is not only our comforter, but our guide. So what I'm saying is that Paul always offered praise to the Father for his ministry and to comfort while he and his companions went under extreme distress. And sometimes we have to have somebody that we can go to in the body of Christ that can give us comfort. It might be the pastor, it may be a deacon, it may be a few members, maybe one of the church, but somebody that has some wisdom, that has a comfort level, and they are at peace with God. Because if you confess Christ, you are supposed to develop peace, and that's a daily, daily walk. And James talked about, can you have joy in your trials and in your tribulations? So the difference there between worldly comfort and Christian comfort, we go to concerts, we go to baseball games, we go to picnics and family reunions, and all those. And I'm not knocking those, but what I'm saying is that there's a different comfort in worshiping and praising God, because he is the sustainer of life. He is our guide. He is the one that wakes us up at night. He's the one that gives us a peaceful sleep. Many of us have to take medication to sleep. Many of us have to, some stay up all night. I had a friend of mine who was very sick, but he would refuse to go to sleep. And I asked him, I said, why do you go to sleep so much, man? What is it? You think you're going to wake up dead? And I was just kidding with him, but he bust out laughing. He said, man, yeah, I think about that sometimes. But we have to empty ourselves on a daily basis before we lay down, when we go to God in prayer, and ask him to give us comfort, to give us peace, to give us a peaceful night. And if he don't, and he doesn't wake you up in that morning, at least you made peace with him, that you may be caught up with him. And if you die in Christ, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians that is a guarantee you will be raised first, and those that are left behind will be caught up. So which walk do you want? Which walk of comfort do you want? Do you want the worldly comfort, or do you want that comfort that God has planned for us? Because he has a plan for all men and women to be saved. But the thing about it, if you are saved, not pretending to be saved, but if you are saved, the world has to see that spirit, that light on you, that you are actually one of God's disciples. And when you confess and say you are Christian, and many of us pronounce the word Christian, that means you're on duty 24/7. There's no let up. There's no time off. Because God doesn't sleep. He's a spirit. But he separated himself and gave us his son. Then he gave us the Holy Spirit. I'm kind of reiterating on that. But do we really understand what it is to be guided and taught by the Holy Spirit of Christ? Well, I'm not going to take up all the time, Sister Faith. Someone else can jump in. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
No, I said someone else can, you know, I want to take up all, yeah, up all the time.
I would have to say to be guided by the Spirit of Christ means that you do have peace. It also means that you have unspeakable joy. And no matter what trials or tribulations come your way in life, you can lean on God and know that he's always going to be there for you, because the desires of this world pass. But the peace that God has for all of us, it'll never pass. And he's going to be the same God today, yesterday, and the day, and even the day after. And when you come to that point in life where you know that you can experience true peace and true joy with God, it frees you in so many ways. It really does. But it's a daily walk. And then it also means that you got to get into the Word, meditate on it, and reflect on what God is telling you, and know that he's leading your life in a positive direction, and he's never going to fail you. But yeah, it's definitely a process. It really is. That's my take on it.
Amen.
And also, we don't have to be ashamed of Christ. Shame to pray, shame to speak his word. I'm not saying that you have to browbeat anybody, but always be ready to show them that God is a trustworthy God. He's a faithful God. He is the only God. And it's just like a mother. She goes through that labor pain, and I witnessed, the first child I witnessed being born to work, because each one of my children, I was a little late because I signed the papers, and by the time I got to the room, they were here. But anyway, I witnessed one of my grandsons being born, and I saw the pain my daughter's in. But then when she saw that baby and they put it out, it was a light about her, a smile and stuff. So that's the way it is when we go through trials and tribulations. Let God work it out. You know, he takes revenge for those, but you have to give it to him. Everything that happened to you is not good for you. And everything that's good for you might not be good to you. But what I'm saying is that if you give it to God and let him work it out, because the devil will tell you how to do it, but he will not tell you the consequences. But the Bible tell you what your consequences are. And Paul was one. If you look at the life of Paul, of all the people that God could have chose, he chose Paul. I call him the Jewish mafioso, because he he was terrible. He was terrible. But God took him and gave him the gospel of grace, the gospel of peace, the gospel of faith. So study those epistles, you know, and reiterate on them. If no one is teaching to them, ask God to reveal in his word what he is saying to us, because it is his word. Because this book was not written to us, but it was written for us to study what these people went through to get to the point to be a believer, to have comfort in Christ. It's all about Christ. He is the center. He's the core. When you walk into your worship center on a Sunday or whatever day that you feel that you have to worship, there's three things that I always tell my class. The Word of God, Christ, and the cross. Uh-huh. The three things should be the center and the core there. And you should have prayer, praise, and worship.
Yes,
and a true worshiper will be at peace, will totally be at peace. Because like I said in 2 Corinthians, when I started that verse off, and then we look at how Paul illustrated triumphs through his suffering. You know, in 2 Galatians, he said, I'm crucified with Christ, but yet I live. But he was not crucified to the point where Jesus and hung on a cross, because he got his head cut off finally. But he got stoned, he got jailed, he got whipped. And none of us has went through those trials and tribulations that Paul and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through. But we do have our trials, we do have our tribulations. But the key, like Brother James said, can we have joy in that? And to have the joy that you give it to the Lord, let him work it out.
There it is.
Yes.
Amanda says, anyone else have any comments or questions on that?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, Mr. Beverly, how are you today?
Oh, all right. I didn't think anybody could hear me because I've tried like at least three times to say something and everybody else started speaking, and so they didn't
hear
me.
I can hear you
so
now,
I,
clearly.
Okay.
I can hear you.
Well, we hear you. We truly apologize.
Sure.
Yes.
No, that's no apologies. I was just trying to see if there was technical difficulty today. But anyway, I have
no technical difficulties. I can hear you very clear.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, praise God. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, when your topic was about coming out of the comfort zone, I guess I was sort of looking at it a slightly different way, and instead of thinking about the comfort that God gives to us, thinking about actually being in a situation of feeling comfortable and not wanting to move, say, in a way that God might have wanted you to move. And when I was thinking about it in those terms, I was thinking about a few years back when I was driving and I had stopped at this particular location. It was in a small town in my area, and I was in their downtown section. And it was this lady that came up to me, and she had on a nun's outfit. So, you know, I'm not saying she wasn't a nun, but I'm just saying, you know, she came up in a nun's outfit, and she was asking me, and she was an older woman. She was an older woman. It was a really hot summer day. And she was asking me if I would give her a ride up to the church up the street. And so, you know, being in a day and time in which we were living, you know, people coming up and asking you stuff like that, you just have this skepticalness sometimes about yourself. And so I was really kind of being on the skeptical side because you hear about so much from the news and everything. And she was so nice and everything. And she continued, you know, to ask me about giving her a ride up there. And so finally, you could say that I came out of my so-called comfort zone, because I was in that zone of should I or should I not, you know, or am I setting myself up for something? But I went ahead and I put her in the car and I drove her up to the Catholic, you know, church area that she wanted to get to, like a convent or whatever. And, you know, and she, you know, dropped her off, and she was very, very appreciative for me doing that. But I'm just saying, sometimes we get ourselves, you know, like I was in my comfort zone of, you know, I don't know if I want to do this because, you know, I'm hearing all these different things on TV, you know, people will say they want thing and dress up, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, that's the vantage point that I was coming at today from your theme of coming out of your comfort zone. So I had to come out of my comfort zone, and I had no idea what the Lord would have me to do for this lady on that particular day. So that's all I wanted to throw in about your theme here today, about coming out of that comfort zone.
Yeah, that's another way to put it, and that is true. I said whatever the Lord has placed on your heart, and I'm glad that you shared that, because there are times when God says for you to do things, or he says for you to stop doing this or let this person go, and you want to hang on to it, but it's the same thing. You got to leave what that is that God is telling you to do, because it's no good for you. It's just like being fishers of men, when Jesus told them to stop fishing and go with him. I will make you fishers of men. And so they stopped doing what they're doing so that they can move forward with doing what Jesus told us to do. And sometimes we don't do that. When God is telling us to do something, we got to move. Because if we don't move, the enemy is going to come immediately and stir us to go in another direction.
Amen.
That's him.
Well, Sister Faith, if I didn't stick to your topic, I apologize to you, but I can only give the word of God, you know.
I was going to say, I didn't say you were off topic. I was just saying that's how I took it. That's all. That's all I was saying. I took it from that vantage point. But I didn't say you were off topic.
No, I wasn't accusing you of that, but I was just saying if anyone felt that, I was when she had called me and asked me about the comfort zone. You know, I always look at difficulties, but I go to the Word of God because we all have experiences. But I always look at it that a lot of times we have a free will choice. And the same as you say about the nun, I was at a gas station one day, and it's priest, I guess it was priest, because he had the suit and the collar on. And he walked up to me, asked me, could I buy him $2 of gas? He had a white truck, so I looked at him. I said, okay. I thought about it, and I said, nah, is this man a priest or this kind? But anyway, I went on and started pumping some gas. When he got to see that, he said, oh, no, sorry, that's enough. All right. But he said that he came from the Archdiocese in Sacramento and going to San Rafael, and that's roughly, oh, maybe 80 miles, 80, 85 miles. And when he drove off and hit the freeway, like he was going back to Sacramento, and I thought about it. I said, Lord, now, was that man really a priest or what? But then was that a con or what it was? Then I said, oh, well, whatever. And I went on about my business. Now, what I'm saying is I don't know if that actually was a priest, because I'm looking at it. Why would the Archdiocese let him come all the way from Sacramento to go to San Rafael without a gas card or a tank of gas? So it was a decision that I made, so I did it. Now, was it the right decision? I would never know because I never saw him again.
Amen.
Okay. there was another thing I wanted to share. You know, the closer that you get to God, the things that you used to do will fall off. They will no longer be important to you. And it'll just fall off of you as God leads you to where he wants you to go. So, you know, just like your friends that you used to hang out, you won't hang out with them anymore. Because you see things in a different light. And I think that is good because, you know, with your relationship with the Lord, because you're leaving your comfort zone, but you're also following Jesus Christ.
That's all I want to say
on that one. Amen. Well, to me, that's the true comfort, following Christ.
Anybody else have any more comments? Okay.
Well, I can give another one incident. Beverly spoke of it. It came to my remembrance. I was going to Wendy's one day because that's one of my favorite places. And when I parked and got out the car, there was nothing against the wall. And then when I looked around, there was all of a sudden a man was sitting there. And something, he was sitting there in a, almost like a fetus position. And I don't know what led me. I asked him, I said, sir, he had his hand out. And I said, well, sir, would you like to have something to eat? He said, yes. So I went in and I got an order for him, and I came back and gave him the bag. And then I turned around the door and I looked back. He disappeared. It's like he just disappeared in thin air. And what that was about... God is the God. I don't know, but he just disappeared.
It could have been.
And then there
was
another. I was at Walmart one day, and I saw this guy. We call him, well, the street name, they call him Jesus, because he always wrapped up in a blanket, walking barefoot. He got long hair, and they call him Walking Jesus. But anyway, I asked him, did he want, no, I didn't ask him. I saw him big, and so I went to Carl's Jr., and I bought a double order for him, and I brought it. Now, he wasn't there, so I rode around the block, and I found him. And I said, here's something, if a meal for you, sir, if you're hungry. He said, I'm not hungry. I want a drink. So I went back to Walmart to go handle my business, and I seen a young man was talking to a lady, but he had a backpack and a bunch of a plastic bag with him. And he was explaining about he was a veteran and he was really in need. So I walked to him. I said, sir, I said, no offense, but I have a order from Carl's Extra one. Would you love to have it? And his eyes lit up. He said, yes, thank you very much. Now, this is a veteran because he had his little army jacket on. Now, if he was a veteran, I really don't know. But I took him at his word. I gave him the meal and went on the store, took him my business, and went home.
There it is.
Sometimes there are things that are miraculous and then some things are cons, but it's always a decision I think we have to make at that moment, you know.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Amen.
And sometimes we can entertain angels and not even know it. And mm-hmm. when we help others, we're helping
God. To the day, that's still a mystery to me because I gave it to him. I walked to the door, I turned around and looked, and he was gone. Wasn't nothing to lose people.
Yeah, anything we've done for the least of them, we've done for God. And any resources we have, it's all because of him.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And that's what it's about, helping each other to make this world a better place.
Well, that is one of the mandates of the body. I didn't say the church, now I say the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Is to feed the homeless, to help the orphans and the widowers, you know, and the older people, you know. That is our mission.
Right.
But we spend more money to television and evangelists than we do right in our local community.
Okay. Anyway, we have gotten to the end of our radio blog today.